from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
You ain't better than me. Man, y'all don't know the game, man.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, it's Willard and Dibs. And just for the audience, I'm going to bring us back and just say this. It's been about almost three full years we've been doing this show. And
October something.
Okay.
7th or 8th or whatever will be our 3-year anniversary.
I love it. 3-year show anniversary. Yep. And we're getting to the point now.
Number three.
Yeah, we're starting to finish each other's sentences.
Are we starting to feel the flow?
Your thoughts are my thoughts and my thoughts are your thoughts. Yeah. And it's kind of scary, but it's also pretty fun.
It is.
It's good.
I know what you're doing over there. I know what you're thinking.
Today's hump day, dog. Damn, am I right?
Damn right it is.
Do the humpty dance. Do the humped.
All right. That's enough about the Giants.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Forget them.
Mediocre.
Yeah.
Where's Richard Sherman when we need him with his mediocre? Because they really are the epitome of mediocrity.
Remember we had that conversation earlier in the week about, like, if you just accept them as a 500 team, they're more fun to watch?
Yeah, great call.
I disagree.
I want winners.
If you accept them as a 500 team, you'll go less crazy. They're not more fun to watch.
Okay.
It's not fun.
Win with them.
Yeah, it's not fun. So, rest in peace, Al Attles.
Yeah.
Great to have Juan Toscano-Anderson and Tim Roy on today. If you missed any of those, Odyssey app, YouTube are your options to go back and check it out. And then we'd also been talking about this, and I've been looking forward here in the second half of the show to kind of circling back to this. So we talked a lot about Brock Purdy, and the inspiration for it was this concept of the window is closing. Must win Super Bowl now. Window is closing. When someone says that, what I hear, even though the words aren't there, what I hear is you're not actually that into Brock Purdy. I'm not saying you say he stinks, because he doesn't. Like, that's just objectively false. But you're not that into it. And the 60 mil or whatever it's going to be is sort of like obligatory. Because if you think the window is closing as your franchise quarterback turns 24, what are we talking about? No, the window is just starting to open. I would argue, and I know that people will both, but wait a minute, like, the window's been open. They've been dancing around in the Super Bowl for 6 years. So then I could respond and go, well, then wouldn't you believe in Kyle Shanahan more? And whatever's going to happen in the post-Kittle, post-Debo, post-Trent era, like, they've always been able to kind of cobble a roster together that's interesting. So anyway, that debate goes back and forth. And we got a call earlier today, and he goes, it was Pat in Foster City, and he goes, Brock kind of like Draymond. And here was the question I wanted to ask you out of that. Let's say that that's true, meaning Brock would not be as good with any other team. It's sort of circumstantial that he's good, yet we can all agree for this team, he's really important. All right, so what do you do? What's the right thing to do in that situation? I hear a lot of people still mad that Draymond Green got another contract. I know that that's now, not so much over the whole decade. But if you've got a guy that's like only kind of awesome and great for you, but not on the open market, couldn't I argue, so what? You don't have to hire Brock for any other team.
Exactly.
You only have to hire him for you. So if it's great for you, then that's it, right?
That's it. That's it. And I don't really understand the Draymond comp other than, you know, the idea that... Well, I do. I don't agree with it. So
okay,
Draymond's
that's fair.
Only good because he plays in this system with Steph and in this culture, and that's the argument, and I don't believe that.
Okay, and that's fair.
Would he be a four-time champion? Probably not. He's a four-time champion because they are four-time champions. There's, you know what I mean?
Totally. There's always been the argument, though, that Draymond Green, if you put him on the open market, would not get contract offers from other teams that he'd get from the Warriors because Draymond Green would not be as valuable for other teams as he is to the Warriors.
Right now, if you want to go back to when he was in the Brock Purdy portion of his career and Draymond Green was 27, and let's say Draymond was a free agent after they had won their third title, and he decided, I'm going to go out in the market, and they just went back-to-back with KD, and then they lost the year when Klay and KD both got hurt. And at that point, you know, KD's leaving, and Klay's out for a couple of years, and Draymond's going to go be a free agent. At that point, when he still was 30, 29, 30, 31.
It's not that long ago.
5 years ago.
Is he that old? He's not that old.
No, but it was that long ago
okay,
when
so,
Klay got hurt. And I'm just saying that if Draymond would have gone out to the market at that point, you're damn right he would have gotten those offers. See, I think now...
I don't know.
If Draymond, when he got this latest contract, it was different. He had already punched pool, and his body had started breaking down, and his reputation had been... changed more than it was at that time. And that's why I think the comp is not accurate, because Brock Purdy right now, he's on the ascent, and we don't know just how good he can still possibly be.
Well, for sure. And I don't, there's no way for me to argue what Draymond would have gotten if this were when he was 28 years old. But I think that that label has always followed him, whether you think it's a comp to Purdy or not. I do agree that the label has always followed Draymond. He's more valuable to the Warriors than he would be to anybody else.
I agree with that.
Yeah, that's always followed him. And I think that that is a budding thought to some about Brock.
Agreed.
Right?
Well, I think that the association with his teammates and with the laminated play sheet, with Shanahan and the team culture and all the rest of it, yeah. And it's such a small sample right now that we don't know yet what Brock will be without McCaffrey, Kittle, Debo, Trent, and Ayuk.
Well,
that becomes, I think, where this conversation lies, because there is the people who think, well, once Brock has to play with common folk, you're going to see him exposed. And then there are the other people, and I'd put you in this camp, that think, well, whoever he has around him, he's still a damn good quarterback, and I believe that Brock will win.
Well, and it's also, it's not even just that. It's that I do believe, even if the 49ers don't have great drafts between now and 2027, they're not going to go over. They're not going to get zero players out of the next four drafts. So, like, our minds go, but Debo's getting old, and Kittle's getting old, and Trent's going to retire. Right. Right. The Niners know that. They're going to try to put other people in those positions.
Someone will play left tackle.
Yes. Joe Staley was going to retire, and then they went, I have an idea. Let's go trade for Trent Williams for pennies on the dollar.
When you had, Raheem Mostert go bananas
totally
in a playoff game, and you went out and got Christian McCaffrey anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
So he left and you replaced him.
And Brock's not the only one who's more valuable on the Niners than he'd be anywhere else. Greg Cosell said the exact same thing on Ross Tucker's podcast about, guess who? Brandon Ayuk.
Yeah.
He said, if you look at his skill set, he is a perfect fit for what the Niners do. The insinuation is, you're not going to go get 1,300 yards anywhere else. And I agree with that big time. Like, Brandon's a good wide receiver. But do all skill sets travel to all systems? I think no. I'd even argue that Christian McCaffrey, who was phenomenal with the Panthers, he's better here, though, isn't he? Isn't he better here?
Yeah. They're all better here.
Yeah.
George Kittle, I think, is the idea, the ideal example.
Yeah.
George Kittle is an unbelievable blocker, and he fits this system perfectly. And because of the sleight of hand and the play action, he's able to, hey, diddle, diddle, Kittle down the middle, and he can be such a threat in the pass game, in part because of the scheme of Kyle Shanahan.
Let's take some calls. 888-957-9570. We'd love hearing from y'all. Austin in San Jose. Hey, Austin. We're shaking.
What's up, fellas? Hey, Will, I always appreciate, man, you can really be a guy that rides a certain line and be passionate about something, but you're also willing to accept the other side, which I think is cool, man. In this case, I'm coming from a non-Niners perspective, fan base. And by the way, Dibble, this is an association sensation, by the way.
That's a buck.
Wow, I just want to get that in.
We're off to a good start, Austin.
Cha-ching! Hey, so let's talk about Purdy, and here's where I know that I'm going to rub some people the wrong way, and that's what I'm saying is, listen, I love Purdy's is a great story, right? But I think if we project his market value the outside of the Niners, and this is where you guys probably would disagree, and people have talked about $50 million, $60 million, whatever it is. I don't think he's worth that much outside of the Niners. I think he's probably – I think they could probably pay him 30 to 40, and he'd take it. I don't think he's worth any more than that outside of the Niners. And I know that Niner fans think he's – the next greatest thing since Joe Montana, but I don't think he is. And I think the talent level, people project his talent, not just what he's doing with the Niners. I think if you look at his talent versus some of the other guys in the league, this is the perception, right? I'm not saying it's reality, or it's right. I'm just saying this is a perception outside of Ninerland. I think you'd have to agree that people don't see him as a super talented guy. See him as an overachiever. They see him as an overachiever within Shanahan's system. Do you guys agree with that or not?
Yes, to a degree, but maybe not to the degree that you're throwing out there. Like, in other words, if you say Brock's not worth 60 on the open market, at least today, again, we got a whole nother season of data to gather, I'm going to agree with that. Like, if you did just say, and by the way, you can't even do this because he, like Brandon Ayuk, next offseason is not a free agent. So the Niners are not going to just be like, we'll just let him walk. But in a mythical world, if we did that, if Brock hit the open market, and Austin, thank you very much.
It's a good call.
If Brock hit the open market right now, what's the number? Well, he said 30 to 40. Now, I mean, you're underneath Daniel Jones.
Yeah, that's a little low.
You are bottom half of the league and underneath Daniel Jones at 35 million dollars. I don't even think you're Derek Carr. What did Derek get? What did Derek get when, let's see here, quarterback contracts and salaries. Okay, here we go. I got it right here in front of me. The average annual, Derek Carr is making 37 and a half.
Mm.
Daniel Jones is making 50 or 40. You want to go down to 33.3? Guess who that is?
Baker Mayfield.
Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
Now you're down to 25 with his Geno Smith. So you're essentially saying, I'm going to pay this guy just north of Geno Smith and Baker Mayfield. Now, believe it or not, Dibs, I think there are people listening to us right now, and they're like, yes.
It's about right.
That's about right. However, it runs up against the wall of the statistics and the output and the quarterback rating.
And the playoff wins and the rest of it. I do think that at the end of year three, knowing that he is under contract for one more year, that does give the Niners a certain amount of leverage. And you're not going to totally lowball him and offer him 35 or 40, but I do think that fact might keep him from absolutely breaking the bank and resetting the market, because they don't have to give him an extension. They kind of do, because everybody does.
Yeah, you do. But you don't mess with this.
You don't mess with it, but at the same time, you don't necessarily have to go absolutely over the top, break the bank. You give him what's near the top of the market.
This is actually what you're making right here, I think, is a phenomenal point. This is a great point.
You made the point before, and I'm kind of blowing from about 8 months ago.
That's why I think it's so great. But
I knew it. Smelled familiar to you.
Well,
like an old T-shirt.
No, you know, I've probably shared this story to you before. This is 1,000 years ago. I was having a conversation about Mike Trout with a sports agent. Not Mike's agent, a different agent. and Mike Trout, thank you, at the time was stuck in that ridiculous baseball arb system.
Yeah.
He's like getting MVP votes, and they're like, he's making $500,000 a year. He's not even making Brock's salary. And the Angels kind of messed with it. Like, he came back the next year. I think he finished second in the MVP, and they're like, oh, we're going to give you a raise. You were making $500 last year. You know what we're going to do for you this year? Attaboy, you played great for us. This year, $600,000. Congratulations, Mike. It's a 20% raise. Go get him. And so I'm talking to an agent about this, and I said, because someone threw out the idea, they're like, why don't you just go to Mike right now? Like, you know this guy's a great player. Why don't you go to him right now, buy out the arb years, and do one of those, and the Braves are great at this.
Ronald Acuna Jr., absolutely. I'm looking at it right here.
Rock, like, I'll offer him 8 years and $100 million.
That's exactly what he got.
Exactly. And what most people react, the way they react when you say that is, no way in hell he's signing that. He's worth three times that, Mark.
Yeah. Yep.
And I go, I get it. The problem is, in order to get to that $300 million salary, you got to go play. Now, let's see, Mike Trout, has he ever gotten injured before?
Has Acuna Jr.
So there you go.
Yep.
And this is not baseball. This is flipping football.
Yep.
So if you go to Brock next year, who's scheduled to make what, $1.1 million?
Ish, yep.
Okay,
yep.
This year, $950,000, something like that. Next year, $1.1. And you go to Brock and you go, well, we got an extension for you. We can make you a rich person for the rest of your life. But, I mean, we could also just play for 1.1 and you can go play 17 more games and I'm sure everything will be fine.
Yeah, yeah.
Doesn't that lower the value? Because what the agent told me is if they offered me $100 million right now, we'd go, where's the pen?
Exactly.
Because what you're offering a human being is you don't have to worry about money for the rest of your life. You can take a risk if you want, but you, like what you're saying could factor into Brock's negotiation next year.
Absolutely.
For sure.
And you look at Ronald Acuna Jr., who signed 8 years and $100 million, and he gets $100 million to play baseball. And in fact, even at the time, his projected salary was probably closer to $225 to $250 million. Now, he did get hurt a couple of times,
yep,
and that would have hindered his ability to go out and get the big deal because he would be in ARB 4 right now had he not signed.
ARB
so they
four.
Bought out three ARB years.
Yep.
$49 million for those ARB years, and then he got another $51 million. In 2028, the club has an option. When he's 31 years old, he'll be unrestricted, and then he can go out and do whatever he wants.
Get another eight-year deal if he wants.
For, you know, Brock Purdy, he's in a spot where he can sign a deal and get, even if he gets the Goff contract, $113 million guaranteed at signing. So you sign a deal for five. Let's say he only gets $50 million a year. Five and 250, and 113 of that is totally guaranteed. When the ink dries, he does it.
And you're back on the market before age 30.
Exactly.
You're
at
back
30, yeah.
On the market
right.
Before age 30, and quarterbacks are playing now until they're 40.
And you're going to stay in a system where yeah. You've thrived and all the rest of it. Now, you could say no and play your fourth year option and bet on yourself, and maybe you then go get $65 million a year as the market goes up again, or bad things could happen,
well,
and you get nothing.
That's what I would have been advising Ayuk all along this offseason, which is like, okay, if you really want to twist everybody's arm about 29 versus 28, you really want to do that, you can do that. I just know the way my brain works, and does it mean at the end of my life I'll have left a dollar or two on the table? Probably. But like, come on. Like, dude, lock it up. You're a football player.
Yeah.
It could all end. Lock it up. It could end in practice tomorrow, Teddy Bridgewater. It could end tomorrow.
Yeah.
Lock it up.
Yeah.
So that may work in the Niners' favor next offseason. I don't know. Again, we've got 17 more games of data to gather, at least. I would imagine more.
Hopefully more.
At least.
If it's only 17, that
18.
Means no playoffs. That means that price goes down.
Yeah, or means he missed three regular season games
it's
and then
possible.
Won the Super Bowl. But
to your point about the
yeah.
receiver, there are 10 receivers who got $40 million or more guaranteed at signing. So if that's the number, Brandon Ayuk, maybe he's hoping for $40 million guaranteed at signing. And if that's the case, then you know, you get that, you get it done, and then you go play football.
I would think he would get that. I would think he would get that.
And if he doesn't sign an extension, he has $14.1 million guaranteed this year, assuming he shows up and plays every week.
Jeff in Belmont on Willard and Dibs. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Great.
I listen to you guys a lot, but I wanted to call today. I just had a couple of observations. I listened about this Brock Purdy stuff, and I'm a Niners fan, but I also look around the league. I think that if Purdy had been drafted in the first round, a lot of this would be a moot point. Because you look at Tua, you look at Trevor Lawrence, they went to big colleges, they came out, were drafted really high. They haven't had nearly the success that Purdy's had, and yet nobody bitches about their contracts. And here, Purdy processes the heck out of the defenses, doesn't have the strongest arm, but he can move around, and he works within a system that Shanahan has given to him, and he plays really, really well. But I just think everybody's waiting for the bucket to, all of the water to drop out of the bucket, because they just can't believe that somebody got drafted where he did and that can play as well or better than the guys that got drafted in the first rounds. And people just can't come to terms with it. Look at Steve Young. Steve Young played in Tampa Bay and was getting his butt kicked and came to San Francisco and turned into one of the greatest quarterbacks ever. But had he not come to San Francisco, I don't know, and we all don't know, if he would have been the quarterback he is today. Another thing is, we don't really know if Joe Montana, greatest quarterback, if he didn't come to San Francisco and play under Walsh and played under a different system, Montana didn't have the strongest arm. But look what he did under Walsh's system. He played great because Walsh knew how to get out of him what he could. And I think that's the same way with Brock Purdy. And we're just starting to see the tip of the iceberg with Brock Purdy. I think we're in for a real treat to be able to watch him for the next 4, 5, 10 years and to be able to play the way that we all think that he can play. All good teams have to have good players. Montana had good players. Young had good players. You got to have good players around you to be successful.
There's no question. And Jeff, what's really odd, thank you. I mean, I largely agree with most of that. What's really amazing is we're sitting here coming out of what was essentially a 20-year era where a sixth-round draft pick ran the league. But we have this hardest time buying into a seventh-rounder. It's not like it's never happened before. Not even close.
And, it just happened.
It just happened. And it is the greatest thing that the league has ever known. And but now we can't believe it. But at the same time, I do understand it. You know, you like, this is why you just don't, you don't mess with the quarterback position, and every single guy, every team, it's always a different story. You know, he mentioned Trevor Lawrence. Now, why does Trevor Lawrence get the new deal? Why? I mean, numbers are fine. I'd argue last year was disappointing.
A little bit of a step back.
A little bit of disappointment. Wasn't bad. Wasn't what we thought it was going to be.
No, it was a step back. And he got the money because he's good enough. And when you have a quarterback who's good enough, the other option is you throw him out and you start over. And starting over is a lot riskier than taking good enough and paying him a lot and hoping that he gets back to being great.
Well, and our sports ego doesn't like to do this, but we really should acknowledge the surroundings of every great player.
Of course.
You just don't, you don't get to be great, you know, like you need Scottie Pippen. And Phil Jackson and Tony Kukoc, and you need all of that.
And the caller mentioned Joe Montana. If it wasn't for Bill Walsh and Roger Craig and Ronnie Lott and Dwight Clark and all the rest of them, then who knows what Joe Montana is, right?
Yeah, good teams produce good players the same way good players produce good teams. We'll keep going with your calls on this. Stay right where you are, 888-957-9570. We're sponsored by Safeway, and this is Willard and Dibs.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Area's local family-owned pest control company.
Football coverage on 95.7 The Game is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Now, back to Willard and Dibs.
It's a great question.
Wow, that's a great question.
That's a great question.
That's a great question.
And that's a great question.
On 95.7 The Game.
Yep, and this is my new Brandon Ayuk theme song. I bumped this on my way home over the bridge. Brandon, dog, how do you want it?
That's a great question.
Thank you, Dontrell. Just be done, dude. How do you want it?
He wants it in fully guaranteed money at signing. That's how he wants it.
Nope.
And he wants a big average annual. And
yeah, he can have that. These are all big average annuals.
He wants it. He wants a guaranteed number. He wants a big guaranteed number.
It's going to be sure a big guaranteed number.
He wants the biggest outside of Justin Jefferson.
Oh, God, get out of here.
I said outside of Justin Jefferson.
No, CeeDee Lamb's about to sign for probably 33. You're not up there. You're not up there.
It's not about average annual. It's about guaranteed at signing.
Yeah, you're not
the
up
GTD
there.
GTD number.
You're not up there.
Well, he's got to be up there with Calvin Ridley, who got $47 million guaranteed at signing.
Yeah, you can have Ridley's guarantee. You don't get DJ Moore's.
DJ Moore got 43.6.
I thought he got up in the 80s.
Again, this is guaranteed at signing. This is the actual guarantee.
Fine.
I'm going David Lombardi on you from The Athletic.
All right.
This is the number that really matters.
Great.
And this is the one that he's probably...
Fine, you can have that.
He wants Tyreek Hill, $54 million guaranteed at signing.
Stop.
51 for A.J. Brown?
No, stop.
Well, it's got to be somewhere up there. He wants to get paid.
Yeah, below that.
Oh, that's not fair.
Yeah, we're going under 50.
And we'll see. I mean, that might be the sticking point in all this because, you know, whatever CD gets, average annual, it doesn't matter. Amon-Ra got $30 million a year average annual value.
Yeah, but the guarantee was low, right?
Oh, really low.
30, he ain't better than me.
34.666 yeah. is the guaranteed at signing.
What's Justin's guarantee?
Justin's is 88.7. That's
he
the
ain't
money.
Better than me.
That's the money he gets.
I know.
No matter. That's no the matter. No matter money.
Yeah.
That, no yep. matter money.
Into escrow.
Yeah. Exactly.
No.
So that's where I think the sticking point is, because that's the one that Jed, like you're saying, Jed's got to go to the ATM and beep, boop, 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 take that money out and give it to him.
I am aware of my standing in this conversation. We are just people. We're just sports fans. We're just talking. So this is not some sort of threat that I think matters. If we get back here on Monday and this isn't done, I'm going to start a big old trade him campaign. Shirts, hats.
Trade him?
Pennants.
Trade him!
If we get back
trade
here.
Trade him!
Thank you.
It's pretty good.
That was a really good impersonation.
Yeah,
sensation. If we get back here on Monday.
Cha-ching!
Bye.
No chance. Get you can't trade him now. And I think.
Right, because no one else will do it now.
And you won't get anything for him now.
Pony says the Steelers will take him on September 7th.
Well, they're at the 1 yard line. So. And they've been at the 1 yard line.
There is moss growing on the 1 yard line right now.
If they were a car parked on the San Francisco streets,
it would get towed.
Dude, you'd be booted. Ticketed, booted, and towed. You've been at the 1 yard line so long. So, you drive by that car sometimes, it's like, oh my God, that car's got 14 tickets on the windshield.
You know those paint spots that come up?
Yeah.
Where it's just like big circular, like sun faded.
Totally.
He's got that all over him right now.
No doubt.
The 1 yard line.
Not trading him. You're not trading him. And that is something
that's up to him and the Steelers. The other option is you can go play for 14.1
right.
or you can find a house somewhere and we'll buy you the NFL Sunday ticket and you can watch football. You're a wide receiver and there are others. Again, for those of you who missed yesterday, and I don't want to, we're going to slip and fall and go into another hour of Ayuk.
No, I don't want to do that either.
For those of you who weren't with us yesterday, the Niners are tied with the Chiefs, Super Bowl favorites at 6-1. This is not me guessing. We went straight to one of the highest level Vegas odds makers alive in
the
business today.
I'll give
you the answer. Exactly.
I'll tell you everything.
You know, Shohei and everything. We asked how the Super Bowl odds change if there's no Brandon Ayuk. And they go from 6-1, careening down the side of a mountain to 7-1.
It's a big drop, actually. It's a big drop.
That's just where I'm at. Yeah. I'm looking at him and I'm going, look, my man, I say this without any anger. This isn't working. And if it's not working, we're going to go have a season. You want to be a part of it? We're right here.
Yeah, but you're not. I don't think that on Monday, if this isn't done, you come back and say, well, then trade him. I think the real response is, all right, the offer that was there is no longer there. If you want to go to the table and look for the offer that was on the table, that offer is no longer on the table. And I've actually seen that happen in business where there was an offer made and the person didn't accept the offer. And then the person thought about it and then wanted to accept the offer. And that offer no longer existed.
I was just a little pup in the business one time and I wanted to pretend like I was all like important when I wasn't yet. And I had a young agent also who I think would probably try and do the same thing in his business. Mm. And they kind of put something on the table and we were like, we're going
to. That's enough for me, Doug.
We're going to do this, actually. We're going to do this. And then things for about a week or two, they weren't going very well. And so then my pup agent was like, all right.
That's a yes from me, though.
Well done, Grandy.
Let's go back to where we started. And the boss that we were negotiating with, famously, I wasn't in the room, but apparently he says to my agent, you laid the card, you play the card. And I was like, oh, damn, that doesn't sound good. Mm. I actually don't even remember how the hell that worked out, but I wasn't at the company much longer.
There you have it. There you have it.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You lay the card, you play the card.
And this whole thing has been a saga, and the 49ers have an actual football game, the last preseason game in about 48 hours. And so their focus is on that. And after that game, then you get into cutdown time where you're going to really figure out what you want to do with your roster. And it will be nut cutting time. And I can say that because I Googled exactly what that means. And it has nothing to do with human anatomy. It's actually when you have a nut and a bolt that are stuck together and you have to actually cut the nut off of the bolt.
But no one takes it that way. So I'd argue it does mean that, because how people take it, that's how it is. It's like a perception is reality thing.
Incorrect. And it's my job to continually educate people on what language means.
And that's good, but nobody ever will hear that phrase and think what you're saying that the online says the definition is.
Well, they will now, because I'm going to continue to educate, as I do with the expression champing at the bit. It's not chomping at the bit.
I know it's not. And I've heard you say this about nut cutting time like 8 times now.
Well, I said it to FP because he wouldn't say it.
No.
He said it's you know what cutting time.
Yeah, but
I said you could say it, FP.
And you've said it.
And I'll say it again.
And you've explained it.
And I will again.
Next time in my life someone says it, I will still think it means the dirty part.
Because that's how you are predisposed.
That's just how it works. That's how it works. It's nowhere near as fun. It's kind of like the Ohio State Buckeyes. You know what a Buckeye is? I bet you do.
Yeah.
Do you know what it is?
It's something that comes off of a tree.
That's right. It's a nut.
Right.
It's a nut.
We used to have a Buckeye tree in our backyard in Fairfax.
Like nowhere near as cool, because the Ohio State mascot is like this bouncing bear looking thing.
Yeah, weird.
It's kind of like Stanford has a tree. I'm like, well, that's not your mascot, but okay, if you want to run around and dance like a tree, okay, we can do that. But then it gets everybody all confused about what your team name is. So, like, I thought the Ohio State Buckeyes, I'm like, that's really cool. And they got, like, a bear. And he's running around out there going against a Wolverine. That'd be a good fight. Bear against a Wolverine. I don't know who would win. There's actually a series of kids' books that does that. Who would win? And they have these two, like, fierce animals. And they go through pages and pages of, like, this aspect, this one's faster, this one's stronger.
A lot of it is venue-based.
Totally.
Like, what's the venue?
Right. Are we on ice?
Yeah, exactly.
Are we up in the trees? And so then,
game after night game, what are we doing here?
I learned that the Buckeye was a nut.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, that's the end of that. A Wolverine's going to eat the nut and it's over.
Very hard, it's by the way. Buckeyes. Just one last quick aside.
Wolverine teeth, very sharp.
We had a big yard in Fairfax, my grandpa's house across the street. We had about 2 acres.
That's your fancy pants.
And my older siblings had the tree fort that was about 8 feet high. And then I was in the small Buckeye tree, about a foot or two off the ground, and they would just pelt me with Buckeyes from about 40 yards away. An absolute hailstorm of Buckeyes. And I learned at an early age, those Buckeyes are hard and they hurt.
Ow!
That really hit me. Dude, my childhood was...
Your childhood is never not funny.
Oh, it was just torturous. It was torturous. It was just one long stream of torture.
Why did you just leave and go inside so they couldn't hit you with the nuts?
Because it was like the hot stove effect, you know? Not baseball, but like, you know, you touch it and you get burned and you just can't help but keep going back to it.
Dibs, I feel like Robin Williams in Good Will Hunting. Like, you don't have to stay there and be abused like that.
I did, yeah.
I know you did.
I did.
You didn't have to do that.
Well, what else am I going to do?
It's not your fault, Dibs.
Yeah, there was only 6 channels on TV at the time, so it's not like you can just go in and, you know, spend your time watching cable TV. No action.
There are certain things that I lived in my life that I really hate that I live, because it makes me feel so old when you do that. You know what I mean?
And you remember.
I totally remember. I remember having a TV where you'd actually walk up to the thing. Ready for this, Grandy? You'd walk up to it. And there's a little dial on the TV, and you just spin it like click, 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 and it was like 2 through 13.
Yep.
And half the channels were just snow.
Like I love the young people.
You didn't work. And then we went through a period of time, we got a remote control, and that was amazing. But did anybody else have this in their house where the remote control only worked in one spot at one angle? Like, it totally defeated the purpose of a remote control.
Right.
The purpose is so that you can change the channel from the couch, but not us. We'd get up from the couch and go over to like a 58-degree angle and hold the remote up, not all the way up, but like halfway between flat and up, and then try about five times until it worked. I'm like, by the time I'm done changing the channel, I could have gotten up and put a new TV in.
Exactly.
Why do we even have a remote? We've been through all that. I'm old enough to have been through all that.
And it's a shame.
Yeah, it was tough.
It's a shame.
It was easier than your childhood, but it was tough.
Well, and my childhood definitely hardened me and made me the fighter that I've always been because there was no give up. The three siblings were relentless.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was during an era of go outside and play. So there was no, like, going and hiding in your room. You were outside for 10 or 11 hours, and so they're going to find you now. Mike 1.0, Douglas, and the Hurricane.
Yeah, watch out now.
They're going to find you now.
Yeah. I'd like to
you
thank...
You play to win the game.
Thank you, Herm. I'd like to thank 512 pointing out that the Buckeye nut is a poisonous nut.
Yeah.
So the Wolverine could eat it, but then it would die.
There you go.
Yeah.
Scoring for the Buckeye.
Now, good job. Buckeyes are tough again. Anyway, I don't even know how the hell. How did we end up on that? What's happening over here?
I have no idea. Okay. I'm just hung up on the fact that you think Brutus the Buckeye was a bear. I am
well,
lost.
Whatever. What is he then?
A Buckeye.
He's not a nut.
It's literally in his name. Brutus the Buckeye.
First of all, yes, Brutus the Buckeye. But if you're watching that and you don't know that a Buckeye is a nut, then you just think he's Brutus the Buckeye, and you don't know he's a nut. Nor does he look like a nut, because he does not
look like a bear.
He has arms and legs. He doesn't look like a nut.
The head of the mascot is the nut, the Buckeye, and then he just has a human body.
Yeah, the head of the...
Pretty simple.
We got into that because of nut cutting time.
Nut cutting time, thank you.
Yes,
and you're welcome. Sorry, to one more aside from the behind the glass, which is never a good thing. It would be a way funnier mascot if it was just a Buckeye without the arms and legs. Would be way funnier.
It would be better.
Mm-hmm.
It would be better.
Just like the old Syracuse Orange.
Yep.
So the Buckeye without arms and legs would just sit there. The mascot
exactly.
would just be a stationary nut.
Uh-huh.
I'll take the Wolverine.
Yeah, so.
Or be like those, you know, those kids' birthday party things where you stick them inside the big bubble.
Oh,
and
yeah.
they just kind of bounce and roll around. He could do that, and he would look more like a nut. Look at these snooty little college sports fans in there who think you know everything about all the mascots. Your colleges don't even have conferences anymore. So take that.
Ouch.
Yeah. Ouch to me more than them. But anyway, I'm the one who's losing the bank account. Willard and Dibs on 95.7 the game.
You got to pivot to one of those other Big West or Mountain West or one of those other ones.
I might do something crazy now on a Saturday and actually go to my daughter's soccer games.
That'd be fun.
Could be wild. Could be crazy. Some of them are an hour or two away, but we're going. 888-957-9570. I'd like to get back to the quarterbacks. I did not mean to slip and fall into Iukeville. But this was a fun little note because we were talking about all the quarterbacks and their salaries. You want to know who's tucked? I'll give you two guesses. Who's tucked right in between the two young stud QBs in the AFC South? C.J. Stroud and Anthony Richardson. Who's tucked right in between them on the salary scale? C.J. Stroud will make $9.06 million this year. Anthony Richardson will make $8.49 million. Who's tucked right in between them on the quarterback list
in
this year?
In the AFC South.
No. Those two are in the AFC South.
Oh, gotcha.
This player is not in the AFC South.
Yeah, geez. I have no idea.
Right in there. You'll go, oh. He's in the NFC East.
Oh, man. Couldn't be Danny Dimes.
No.
It's not Jaden Daniels in the rookie scale.
No.
And it's not, is it Dak Prescott?
No, Dak makes $40 million per year.
Yeah, it's not Jones, it's not Dak, it's not Daniels, is it Hurts?
Nope.
Well, then who would it be?
Trey Lance.
Oh, look at that.
Trey Lance.
That's so clever.
Trey Lance is a third-string quarterback, will make $8.5 million this year.
Good for him.
It's good work if you can find
it. Yeah, and that's guaranteed, I believe, right? As a first-round pick?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, the total value of his contract was 34. Yeah, as long as he's playing and on the roster.
There you
have it. I assume he's going to make the team. People are excited with what they've seen in the preseason the last couple of weeks, even though it's like, I mean, the bar has changed for Trey Lance. But anyway, I don't want to go down that route either. But so the conversation we're having is with regard to not just, quite frankly, Brock and the finances of this whole thing. We started the conversation off the top of the show of, is the idea of good enough? Because some of you may think Brock is great. Some of you think Brock is a figment of your imagination. And then there's every opinion in between. But I do think that the large majority of people would agree with this. Brock is a proven commodity in the NFL. He is a very good player. He is a top half of the league quarterback. But if you go by Fred Warner's recent comments, the idea that Brock will someday be shoulder to shoulder with Patrick, Josh, and Lamar, most people will be like, well, no, that's not possible. So as a 49er fan, are you excited by the idea? Forget if he gets 60 or 50 or 40, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Are you excited by the idea of a decade of your starting quarterback being, you know, good?
Yeah. I am excited by that because you look at other quarterbacks who have won the Super Bowl, and I think that Eli Manning is a great example because when he was coming up, he was getting a lot of starts, and you know, at the time he was good. He was never spectacular. I don't think that he ever led the league in any of the real categories, and I'm just trying to run his stats right now to make sure that I have it right, but he always seemed to be a guy who was good. He was accurate. He could throw for some yards. I see he led the league in yards once. He led the league in percentage once.
Yeah. Well, he has enough yards to where he's like 11th all time.
So right. So he's a career aggregator. Yeah, yeah. He's a guy who played a lot of years, and he made a lot of starts. He was durable, and I'm looking at, but got 13 straight years where he played every game.
Yeah.
So that's going to help you rack up numbers. And he was good. He had years where he was, you know, top 8, top 10, top 6, and he was good enough in the big games to win 2 Super Bowls. So we look at him now, and yeah, 57,000 yards for his career. That's fantastic. And you ran down the top 10 earlier in the week, and he's among them, but he was never seen as the best quarterback in football. I think you could look at Eli Manning and say, yeah, he's good. And without the 2 Super Bowls, you'd look at his career and say, good career. Good long career of solid quarterback play. So can Brock Purdy follow that pattern, and would that be good enough for you?
I mean, it's absolutely good enough for me. Again, it ends up coming down to relevance and what the Niners are able to put around him, and I trust the organization, and I think they'll always be pretty good. Are they always going to be the favorite? No, but I do think that they're going to be good. I think that they've proven that, and they've earned that. I also think part of this is just kind of the way our sports brains work. We want the heroes to be heroes, and Brock Purdy doesn't look like a hero. And we want the individual to pop, and rarely do we acknowledge what I think is an omnipresent fact, which is whatever the hell's going on around you needs to be good for you to be good. I mean, countless number of players have had careers kind of go wayward just based on where they were drafted. It's probably something that we should talk about more, but like, it's just not interesting enough for people to really bite into this apple. And what I mean by that is like, the way a career goes, there's so much luck involved in it.
Of course.
There's so much more talk about Brandon Pajemski than there is about Cade Cunningham. Who's a better player?
It's not even close.
It's not even close.
Alex Smith is a great example of a quarterback whose career kind of went sideways because of circumstance.
Yep.
Different coordinator every year. Unstable franchise. Thrown in too soon. Had some injuries. Then he went to Kansas City. Better head coach, better system, and did great.
Right.
And got hurt again.
And then they drafted Mahomes.
Of course, yeah. But your career is so circumstantial as a quarterback in the NFL.
We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. More on the quarterbacks and your calls, 888-957-9570. Also, a very, very large announcement that needs to be made that we will make. Coming up next on Willard and Dibs.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.